Okay, so here we go. My talk is entitled HPV Burden in the Haitian Community of Miami, Florida, Community-Based Participatory Research and Investigation. I have no relevant disclosures or no relationships to disclose, excuse me. So briefly, what we'll talk about today is a little background, the burden of cervical cancer in the Haitian community in Miami, the immigrant Haitian community in Miami, the methods we use to try to assess the burden of HPV in the community using a community health worker and cervical self-sampling intervention, describe the results in terms of the prevalence of HPV infection and the distribution by HPV types, and some of the associated risk factors that we looked for in that community. And then we can talk a little bit about the cervical cancer disparity and what our intervention and what the data actually means. So in general, health disparities found across outcomes and populations, but we found, and as many of you all know, that immigrants and ethnic minority populations shoulder an increased burden of disease. This is especially true with cervical cancer, which is an objective marker of this burden in many populations. Areas with high incidence and mortality primarily reflect a differential access to prevention and treatment due to economic or sociocultural factors. And this is especially true in the immigrant population in Miami. To start off here, how did we get to this point to try to do an intervention to look at HPV prevalence in the community? Well, based off of data that was collected through SEER, Florida Cancer Data System, and using SEER Registry, we identified 7 census tracts that were primarily the areas where Haitian immigrants immigrate to when they first come to Miami, and looked at the rates of cancer rates in those areas. Those census tracts are down here in the hashed area. And so that's the nexus of the Haitian community in Miami, Florida. For point of reference, this is downtown Miami and Jackson Memorial Hospital, which is a primary tertiary care facility there, teaching hospital. This is South Beach, in case any of you all been there, and that's where that is. But Miami is characterized by a highly segregated population in terms of economics and racial makeup. So looking at those factors, we found that the rate of cervical cancer amongst the Haitian immigrant population is 38 per 100,000, nearly 4 times that seen in the surrounding population. And so trying to understand why this distribution of disease is so great within the community was the primary focus of our research. To do that, we started with a community-based participatory research initiative in Miami. My boss, Dr. Aaron Kovetz, has spent the last 6 years working with community partners in Little Haiti, which is that neighborhood again, and throughout the Miami area with diverse ethnic minority populations to establish community advisory boards and design interventions and programs of research that can lead to sustainable change in health disparities amongst the populations. So we took this information about cervical cancer to the community and said, what do you want to do about it? Is this a problem for you? Do you know anything about it? How would you like to address this issue? So we did that, and a lot of things came up. They were interested in the research, and they began to talk about all the barriers they face in terms of care and the cultural issues related to pap smear screening, things of that sort that could potentially be related to this increased burden that we see in the community. So in general, the reason that we've used this community-based CBPR approach is to circumvent some of these barriers that might be these barriers to traditional research and to understanding health disparities in the population. There's a general distrust of outsiders within the community. I would be an outsider in the Haitian community, therefore I am not going into the community and interviewing people or trying to get them to do pap smears or anything of that sort. So there's a predominance of monolingual Creole speakers, and there's a dissonance between Haitian and Western medicine's conceptualization of health and prevention. All of these factors combined lead us to need a new way of thinking about how we do cancer prevention in this type of community. To address this disparity and the things we've talked about, the Community Advisory Board was formed, and it's called Cotney and Axion. And this community academic collaborative is a true CBPR initiative where the community, from the conceptualization of research to the dissemination of findings, the community is involved at all phases. They collect the data, they help write the reports, they inform our understanding of what the contextual attributes might be that affect this disparity in the population. the overarching goal is to attenuate the disparity that we've discussed. And so that's kind of the theme there. So what we did, well, the Haitian community came up with the idea. We brought some of our expertise to it, and they brought their expertise to the discussion, to hire community health workers to use them as patient navigators, basically, and to do the cervical self-sampling intervention. So we brought the idea of cervical self-sampling as a mechanism to go around these barriers, such as to traditional pap smear screening. Sorry, can you hear that? Okay. Using community health workers, we took the intervention to the field. We recruited women from a variety of local venues that were part of the social networks of the health, the CHWs, also from churches, laundromats, different facilities that we found women were receptive to this type of information. All the participants were over the age of 18. They had no previous history of cervical cancer or hysterectomy, and they had not had a pap smear in the past 3 years, or past year, excuse me. So here's a flip chart that illustrates how we brought the intervention to the population. And I apologize, there's a lot of different things we did here. But the goal, obviously, was to document the prevalence of HPV. And using the cervical cell sampler, which is sensitive and specific compared to the gold standard of pap smear, we were able to do that. This is the flip chart. You can see this was taught to the women in Creole at their homes after they had consented to participate. The idea that was promulgated by the community partners themselves, that going out and just talking to women or providing pamphlets wasn't a way to educate them, that we needed to do it in this sort of fashion. So participants performed the self-sampling procedure based off of those materials in their homes with the community health worker present. The cervical self-sampler itself is a tampon-like device which is inserted. The tip is retractable and it's extended to scrape the cervical cells. It's then retracted back into the capsule. It's fixed in thin prep solution, and we then sent it off to be genotyped for HPV detection. This all occurred at an independent laboratory, Select Diagnostics. For this analysis, you can see here, these are the types, when I present the data, that we considered high-risk strains of oncogenic HPV, 16, 18, and all the rest there. And that's based off of data from the IARC cervical cancer studies from previous work that was done. So the results, basically the demographics of the population, women were predominantly between the ages of 31 and 50. They had a less than a high school education. And interestingly, they had spent a moderate amount of time in the U.S. The majority were there for more than 5 years. So they weren't recent immigrants necessarily. It depends on how you want to think about that. Only 56% were employed, and there is 67%. Okay, that's missing. I apologize for that there. That's 67.2% had income less than $15,000 per year. Very few of them reported having any form of health insurance, and only 50% said that they had a regular place for health care. There was a high number of mean pregnancies and a low age at first pregnancy. So here are our results from our intervention and sampling. In total, we interviewed 246 women. 50 of them were eight high risk. 50 of them were positive for any HPV infection. So the total prevalence overall was 20.6%. The prevalence of high risk infection was 13.2%. 64% of all infections were characterized as high risk, and among the high risk strains, 15.8% of them had multiple infections. This is again interesting. We find in this population and in the Haitian population in Haiti, where we've done research as well, that there is a higher prevalence of co-infections with high risk strains compared to estimates from other areas around the world and in the U.S. There was a low prevalence of types 16 and 18 in our population. There were only four women with that, but that could also be a factor of our sample size that was small and we weren't able to get necessarily a fully representative estimate. Of the women who were high-risk positive, 10 of them had abnormal cytological findings, including ascites or cervical dysplasia. 64% of the women, were with abnormal cytology were ascites. 18% were low-grade squamous intraepithelial lesion or high-grade. This is a very busy chart. I apologize. This is the only way to try to get it out there. So we looked at the risk factors, as we do, to try to understand what might be the strongest predictors and of infection, HPV infection in this population. And this is obviously all a cross-section. Age was definitely the strongest predictor. The youngest women had the highest prevalence of high-risk infection compared to any of the other age groups. Marital status in univariate analysis was associated with a higher risk of infection, and that never having been married, as well as the number of pregnancies. As you increase the number of pregnancies, the risk of high-risk infection decreased, and as you increased the age at first pregnancy, the risk increased as well. And interestingly, exposure to tobacco smoke at home was a significant risk factor after adjustment. None of the other factors we found were significantly associated with the risk of high-risk HPV infection or any HPV infection. This is only high-risk. So our most important finding there was the age prevalence distribution. And here you can see each bar represents a different age group, where the predicted probability of infection amongst 18 to 30-year-olds was roughly 44%. That subsequently declined with a minor bump in the middle age group, and then a increase in the oldest women, possibly being indicative of persistent infections that are reemerging or some sort of other exposure that's important. And this is really an important issue for us in understanding how to go about a cervical cancer prevention program in the community. If the oldest women are having these reemerging infections and they're testing positive, then the chances, they're also the ones that are less getting screened less, actually, in our population. So we need to be able to identify them in a timely manner to be able to treat the lesions before they become cancers. So in summary, the crude prevalence, as stated, was 20.7%, and the high-risk prevalence was 13.2%. This is comparable to, it's in the middle range of national estimates. We had a larger, a different age criteria than the large study by Dunn et al. And it could be differences in the study populations, obviously, statistical uncertainty, and we used a different HPV sampling and detection methods. As I said, the high prevalence of high-risk among older women is cause for concern, particularly in light of their low screening uptake in general. And then this age, marital status, number of pregnancies, country of birth, and environmental tobacco smoke exposure were risk factors for infection. So there are numerous limitations to our work, primarily the first being that this was a convenient sample and was not a randomly selected group of women from the Haitian community. Unfortunately, the barriers that are involved in women not being screened or being part of the formal healthcare system, being distrustful of researchers and those types of things, make it impossible to utilize standard epidemiological methods to recruit women and look at the sample. We tried mailing out recruitment materials, tried to randomly canvass. We had Haitian community health workers, women who were members of the community, go door to door in the Haitian community, knock on doors, and no one would answer the doors. So it was really impossible to try to do any kind of random sampling in that way. Our sample size was small, and that limits our ability to stratify by these factors and to look at more of a kind of overall distribution of disease in relation to them. Age, again, was the predominantly strongest risk factor, as is seen in the majority of things. It was the first study to quantify this infection, the HPV infection rate in the Haitian population in Miami, and to try to understand how it's related to the cervical cancer burden that we see. And in truth, it's truly remarkable that from this work, in trying to understand the disparity, we've been able to develop a sustainable intervention with community health workers, with the community advisory board, to be able to keep going with it. So we continue to self-sample women in the community and refer them for follow-up as need be. And I think that that's a really important take-home message, that it's not just we're dropping in there and counting people. We're actually in there with an intervention that works for that community specifically. So thank you very much for your time.